It's that time of the year when we need to start thinking about what gifts to buy the outdoors person in our lives. Do we ever stop and think about what not to buy them? Let's find out. We have with us today, and the pleasure of friend of the podcast, somebody that's been on before, to talk about what I'm saying might be the most useful information out there on YouTube for backpackers or for outdoor people. She's here to talk about the anti-gift guide. Alicia McDaris, welcome back to Papa Bear Hikes.
Hi, glad to be back.
Alicia, your YouTubes are always entertaining and educating. I saw this anti-gift guide and I said, oh my, I said, there are so many people out there doing what to buy your loved one, your boss, your boyfriend, your husband, whatever, your daughter, if they're into the outdoors. Too many of them. But what you did, I thought, I'm watching this. There's 10 of them. And I thought, all right, I got four of that. I got five of that. I've been given this so many times over the years. So what I like to do here, first, let's talk about this. What inspired you to do an anti-gift guide?
Well, we're one of those blogs that do a gift guide every year, right? Several, usually. Because, you know, Terra Drift is about, we do a lot of gear reviews, but focus on sustainable gear. So, you know, our idea is let's show people if they want to buy more sustainable gear, some of the items we loved this year that we tested out. And so that's our gift guide. And they're all things that we've used ourselves and that we really like, or we think our audience would really like after testing them, you know? So we definitely do those, but I was just thinking, personally, I'm not a gift at the holidays person. Like I don't want gifts. I try to give my family not to buy me gifts. So I was like, well, what if we did an anti-gift guide? Like, what if we told people what not to buy? Like, even if you are buying your family gifts this year, which most people do, right? Would it be funny if we said, here are things that you shouldn't get your outdoorsy friends? And it turns out, yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
Because these gifts are bought with good intentions, right?
You know, of course.
When I was working in an office, you know, my secretary knew I loved the outdoors. So every year I got something related to the outdoors.
Sure.
And it was always the thought that counted. But a lot of times I'd get home and say, probably not something I'm likely to use or something I already have two or three of. So let me, before we go down the list, in advance of the list and comments I might say, I am not looking to offend any of you who have bought me any of these gifts. I appreciate it. I love the thoughtfulness. So I'm not looking to offend you. But I do want to go over the list. The first awesome. One, nobody has bought me this one. I thought this first one on the list, quite honestly, Alicia, I thought when I first saw this advertised, it was a gag. Okay.
Oh my gosh, me too.
It wasn't, if it was, they should have released this on April Fool's Day. The crotch pot. It's a real thing. Look it up.
It's a real thing. I had to, when I first saw it, I also like went to so many websites. I was like, this can't be real. This cannot be a thing that actually exists. This has to be one of those April Fool's like joke things that somebody pretends to create, you know, like does a whole, promotional video for and isn't real. But oh my gosh, you can actually buy it. And it's extra funny because it's from Gossamer Gear, whom I really like. I like Gossamer Gear stuff. I have one of their backpacks, one of their tents, I have their trekking poles. But this one, I was like, what did we do here? What is this? Who's using this? I'm not sure. Somebody out there who's listening to this is using it. And that's fantastic for you. It's not for me. I'll just say that.
Hey, look, if somebody's using it, would you please contact Alicia or myself?
I'm
going to speak on Alicia's behalf here. We'd both love to talk to you about this.
I really would. I don't want to eat food that's been warmed via stuffing it down the front of my pants all day.
Which is something just sounds terribly gross about the whole idea. Yeah.
Oh, the name itself is is awful.
I have a theory on this one. Nobody's bought me this, thank God. But I have a theory. I have a theory on how they came about this. It must have been like a Friday afternoon. Everybody was partying a little bit, you know, and somebody grabbed a fanny pack and that maybe wasn't made properly and was joking around and said, what do you do with something like this? I got an idea. And they, you know, shoved it down their pants and said, you can warm your food in this. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yep. So like, you know what? I'm connected with the folks at Gossamer Gear. I should just ask, you know, just send them an email. But like, hey guys, what happened here?
Did some engineers actually sit in a room and say, let's design the next really practical piece of backpacking gear? Oh, how about a crotch pot?
How about a little sack that you put your you know, cold soak meal in, and then you drop it down your pants so your body warms it up? How about that? I assume that they have a sense of humor, you know, and that's where it came from. But yep.
The next item, and yes, this is something I have received, camp toilet paper. I mean, there's rocks out there that are more comfortable than using this camp toilet paper they sell you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm like, do we need to buy special toilet paper to go outside? I don't know. It's just silly. It's like I say in the video, they've got toilet paper at home.
Right. Right. Just steal a little from home or do what a lot of thru-hikers do. Every time you stop at a convenience store or you're in a hotel, grab some toilet paper.
Yep. Yep. And I love, like, I hardly even take any into the backcountry with me anymore. I have a Kula cloth that's like a reusable pea cloth that's really popular with hikers who have to squat to pee. So those are really great. Or Packed Outdoors makes a little compressed wipes that you just like put a little bit of water on them and they turn into a 9x9 biodegradable wet wipe that are just brilliant, but they weigh nothing and take up no room in your bag. So like that's a much better idea.
Yeah. And like the backpacker bidet is becoming more popular. Mm. My oldest son has one. So, you know, yourself and your wheelhouse is sustainability. That's that's an important thing to you. So, yeah, I could see where you're like thinking, you know, backpacker toilet paper, just what we need are the trees and the bushes flowered with toilet paper. I always say in the spring, right? Go hiking in the spring and
it's the worst.
And here's one. I have three of these power cord bracelet, right? What a cool thing. You know what? A couple of times I've taken it out because I have one sitting in my drawer with all my gear and I look at it and I put it around my wrist and I don't clip it because it feels a little uncomfortable. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm already bringing 50 feet of cord with me to hang my food. If I bring this with me the first night, this thing's going to be undone and I'm never going to like braid this thing up again and wear it.
Yeah. It's just one of those things you look at it and you're like, oh, neat. No, it doesn't. No. Not actually. Yeah, like you said, once it's undone, it's undone. Nobody's gonna braid that back up. So paracord is fine all by itself. Doesn't need to be a bracelet.
Here's another one that might fall under the category of should have been released on April Fool's. Lights for your shoes. And yes, folks, they're a real thing.
They are a real thing. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. I don't have those, but
yeah, me neither. But I got an email from a company and I was like, this, nobody needs this. This is, and you know, that was part of, I guess, the impetus behind doing an anti-gift guide is a lot of these things are just wasteful because they're not useful. They're going to work, you know, you're going to use them a couple times. They're going to break, even if they are well-made, you know, like some of the things we're going to talk about here down the list. They're like, you need one of something. You don't need it every year. And it's just creating more and more waste that is just garbage. And this is one of those things that I was like, this is actual garbage. Like it will end up in the garbage in less than 6 months.
Anybody that's hiked in the Northeast, you know, you're going to bang your foot on a root, a rock or something. It's going to happen from your tent to the privy. It can happen. Those right. things become garbage almost instantly. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought when I saw them. But I would probably take maybe a day before one of them's broken, 2 days before they're both broken. And then I thought about this. I use my headlamp as my flashlight in my tent. You know, I kind of hang it up and use that. And I'm like, so what do? I leave the headlamp at home and use my shoe light and bring that in the tent. And every time I got to look for something or get up, I don't know.
Sounds terrible.
Somebody's buying them, though. Somebody's buying them.
Somebody must be. I don't get it. Stop doing that. Stop buying lights for your shoes.
So my kids, I hope you're making a list here. Put this on the list of things not to buy me if you're going to, we don't do a lot of gift giving in our family, but if you're going to buy me a gift, if you're looking for something, put this on the list of things not to buy me. Which leads me to the next thing, next like why item, titanium chopsticks. I've got a drawer that has the wooden chopsticks because every time we get Chinese food, there's extras and they just get thrown in a drawer.
Yep. Absolutely. They're just one of those things. I'm like, what? First of all, I don't know, like $30 to $50 for chopsticks just seems like nonsensical to me. And you know, like really reputable brands make them, like Snowpeak has some, and a lot of other brands make them. And I'm like, cool, I'm glad you're making money, I guess. But it just feels so silly to me when, yeah, you've got a drawer full of those wooden chopsticks from your takeout, or you know, you can go to the Asian grocery store and pick up a dozen for $5.
Yeah. If anybody really needs chopsticks for hiking, send me an email. And for $1 plus the postage, I'll send you wooden chopsticks. And
there you go.
And Alicia, you'll like this. It's more sustainable because wood breaks down.
Right? Yep.
So when they're broken, they're not going to fill a landfill, they're not going to landfill.
Right. Yep. And they're, you know, actually lighter.
Before we go any further, sometimes I look at this stuff and yes, these are very reputable companies. These are companies I've talked to in the past. They've sponsored in the past. After this list, I might not get another sponsor, but we'll see. It's sometimes, especially this next comment, I just sometimes feel like they're exploiting us.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like they saw a gap in the market and we're like, you know what thru hikers need? Titanium chopsticks. Let's make a pair of those. And they'll be incredibly expensive and somebody will buy them because they're cool. And don't get me wrong, they're cool. Like, I mean, to be the person who's like, oh yeah, I have titanium chopsticks. You can seem pretty cool, but then you think about the logic of it. And that's where it falls apart for me.
All right. All you newbies with your plastic spoons and wooden chopsticks. Ha, look right? What I got.
Exactly.
Here's another one of my favorites, because years ago I would bring one on backpacking trips, and this goes, scaling down in your weight, like the multi-tool, right? There was a time I always had my multi-tool with me, and now I have a little, one of those Swiss, the mini, the SD, they call it. People can't see this, but I'm going to show Alicia. That's all I need, right? Over the years, we've learned you don't need 10 or 15 different tools while you're out there. You need something to cut with pretty much. Mm-hmm. You just need a small blade. I have 5 of those. And you know what? I'm grateful for them because they are nice. I mean, I have one with my initials engraved on it, and I'm afraid to even take it out of the house.
Too nice.
I looked at this thing. It's a Leatherman. And I told my wife, I said, it's engraved. This thing had to have cost maybe $100 or more. You know, I knew enough about gear that I said, this is not cheap. I'd be so afraid I'd take that thing out and lose it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, multi-tools is, I think I probably took one with me backpacking in early days of, when I started backpacking. But yeah, paring down my kit, especially as an ultra lighter, I'm like, most of the stuff on a multi-tool you will never use in the backcountry. I mean, I bring a knife. I bring a folding knife that like I keep on my pocket, and it does pretty much everything I need it to do. I don't need a screwdriver. I guess, if you're camping, you could keep a multi-tool in your, we probably have a multi-tool in one of our like camping boxes that we bring camping, like car camping with us. But, other than that, like, I'm not taking one backpacking. I'm not taking one hiking. And if I do have one for camping gear, that's all I need is just the one. So, if somebody, asks for a multi-tool because they don't have one yet, all right. Great, get them that. But I think that so many of them look so cool Like they do so many things that they're tempting people to look at them and are like, oh, that's cool. They could use that. My outdoorsy friend. Like they really couldn't. They don't need to tighten a hex bolt, you know, while they're camping.
Right. I used to bring one when I was a volunteer at the Boy Scouts, because you never know what you might need to fix when you're out with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But since then mine are all sitting in a drawer. But here's a funny multi-tool story I'll share. We had a kid get a tick on him. And I said, well, let me go grab the first aid kit. I turn around and three of the dads have their multi-tools out. Like, wow, we're really going to get a chance to use this thing. And one of them tried to extract a tick with the pliers on the multi-tool.
That's awesome. Yes, you got to use it, man, because you got it. That's great. But
I thought to myself, this is too crazy. People are going to think I'm making the story up. Yeah, they had their tool. Like, I'm going to get to finally use this thing. Now, the next one nobody's given me. Nobody ever will. And I really can't relate to its uselessness. It's a female urinal device.
Yes.
Nobody and, better give me that one. That I might be offended by.
That would be weird. Yeah, I have two. Nobody's gifted me one. I just really wanted to test them out because I thought, hey, this sounds very convenient. Turns out they're not. For those of us who squat to pee, we'll say, they're very tempting because it's like, oh, well, I don't have to like fully disrobe to pee, right? I can just stand there with all of the folks who stand to pee. And it doesn't work that way though. Like it just doesn't.
It's a little bit more work than it sounds.
Like, yes. Yeah. So you know, there are soft squishy ones that sort of like fold up that are made of silicone. There are like hard plastic ones. But I found that like women's pants, like if you're wearing pants, the fly doesn't come down far enough to use these things. So you still have to disrobe to use them if you're not wearing a skirt. Which I don't personally hike in skirts, but some people do. And if that's you and you're not wearing like spandex shorts under them, then yeah, it could maybe work for you. But even then, like I have like a 50% chance of peeing on myself using one of these things. So like in the video, I talk about a product we've reviewed before, which is the Nara Go There pants. That is a much better gift idea if you're buying for someone who squats to pee, because they have like a patented second zipper that runs from under the regular fly all the way to the back. So you can leave your pants fully on and still pee outdoors. Like they're awesome. And we've done a whole review on both their pants and their shorts on our YouTube channel and blog. So go check those out if you want to get somebody something actually useful when it comes to peeing outdoors.
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear that, because I've had this conversation and even recently that, you know, are the outdoor, these manufacturers doing enough to address the needs of female hikers?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're generally not. And so that's why these pants are such a big deal, because clothing is designed for men. And I mean, not just outdoor clothing, but definitely, you know, outdoor clothing too. And it's really refreshing to see a group of people designing clothing specifically for the whole other percentage of the population who has a different anatomy.
Another item I have several of, camp mugs.
Oh, gosh.
That's a popular one, right? My coworker, yep. Hey, they camp, they backpack. Let me go to the big box store and get one of these. They'll love it.
There's so many good. I mean, even I'll walk into REI and see all the camp mugs, right? I'm like, ooh, this one's cool. I love the design on this one. Or this one has a cool phrase on it. But I already have, so many camp mugs. I have too many camp mugs, but now that I have them, like, I don't want to get rid of any of them because they're all great in their own way. So I don't need, please don't get me another one because I don't have room for them. I'm only going to drink out of one at a time, maximum two, you know, if I'm double fisting a hot and cold beverage, I don't know, but, after that, there are only so many camp mugs that a person needs.
Yep. That and water bottles. Water bottles. I'm going to put a slash water bottles here too, because yes. I've got a whole cabinet filled with water bottles, and I'm always hoping one of my kids come to visit and they, Dad, do you have an extra water bottle? Yes, here, take three.
Yeah, I have 75 extra water bottles. Please use one. Don't, like, I tell my friends when they come visit and family, you know, I'm like, you don't need to bring a day pack. You know, if we're going to go hiking, you don't need to bring a water bottle. Please don't bring anything, because I have so many of everything as a gear tester. But water bottles is like, if there's something I have more of than camp mugs, it's freaking water bottles. And it's a problem. Yeah. Don't get anybody water bottle either.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Pour over coffee packs, and that, I'm going to guess, maybe is a little bothersome for you as somebody who has a lot of belief and subscribes to sustainability.
Yeah, for sure. And this is one of those things that I put on there that I'm like, oh, somebody's going to have a problem with this, because somebody loves those little pour over things, you know, like the brand off the top of my head I'm thinking of is Kuju. There are plenty of brands. That's just the first one I think of that, you know, for those of you who aren't familiar, they're individually packaged little pour over things that are in these sort of paper pouches, and you open the package and you kind of unfold, pull apart these little hinges, and they rest on the top of your cup, and they have coffee in this little fabric pouch, and you pour water in just like you would a pour over, but it's kind of like a crossover between a tea bag sort of situation and a classic pour over. And yeah, as from a sustainability point, I do not love them, just because you have these individually packaged things. It's a lot of waste, more so than if you were going to do like a regular pour over, because there are so many collapsible pour overs that you can take camping or backpacking. I have at least 3 in my cabinet right now, in my coffee cabinet. To be fair, I have a problem with coffee making devices. I have too many of them. I really enjoy coffee, which is another reason I don't care for those things, is that I just don't like how they taste. I don't think I've ever had one that I was like, oh, this is actually great coffee. and, you know, coffee is a very personal thing for a lot of people. Not everybody. Like, my dad will literally drink anything.
That's me.
I mean, like, he's got a can of Folgers at home. He doesn't care. If it's coffee, it's fine. And if that's the person you're buying for, then this is probably fine for them. But for anybody who actually likes coffee, like, it's a very personal thing. And buying something like this, like, I've ended up with entire boxes or bags of these things that I just give away to friends, because I'm like, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, coffee, know, like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's people that really love coffee in terms of, mm-hmm. and its embodiment, like, you know, like the flavors and where it comes from. Mm-hmm. I might be more like that with beer and liquor, mm-hmm. but when it comes to coffee, it just has to be hot. And if I can't have it hot, lukewarm, if we can't get lukewarm, well, we'll go with cold. Because awesome. My wife, several years ago, bought me some of the coffee bags, mm-hmm. And I thought, gee, I have to pack this out now. It's wet.
Yeah.
And what if the Ziploc rips and I got coffee over my stuff in the backpack?
Yeah. There's that too.
Yeah. I just bring instant coffee with me now. Now, that doesn't work if you're somebody that really likes coffee, because instant coffee barely passes as coffee flavor-wise. But
There are some really good alternatives out there now for like instant coffee that are actually decent and are getting better. And honestly, there are a couple that I would rather have over the like the coffee pouches or, you know, coffee tea bags or whatever. So honestly, like, I would not be mad if somebody got me a giant bag of Alpine Start instant dirty chai. Because that stuff is not terrible.
Yeah, 2 years ago when I was hiking in Tahoe Rim Trail, I came across somebody and we were talking coffee and he saw me in my Ziploc bag and taking my instant coffee out, and he had these little packets and he goes, no, this has flavor to it. He said, this is good coffee here. And you know, it's instant, and I thought, oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah, it's a very personal thing, you know, coffee. Yeah. And also from a, you know, like a pack it out standpoint, like what, that's also a very personal thing. What do you want to do with your coffee after you drink it? Because yeah, I'm very particular about my coffee, but I also don't want to carry out, you know, 3 pounds of grounds now that they're wet and mm-hmm. and everything, you know, after a 4 or 5 day trip. So yeah.
And on the note of coffee, my son loves gadgets. You know, he's that person mm-hmm. that will buy every, and I used to be that. So he got it from me, I'm guessing. You know, I used to be a gear guy who just loved buying gear, and I think I've passed it on to my oldest. But he now has a titanium coffee press.
Ah, oh, that's fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know how many coffee making devices I have that can and, you know, can be taken camping or backpacking, but they're all lined up in my coffee cabinet. You know, we were just talking about having a water bottle cabinet. I have a coffee cabinet as well.
I was tempted when I saw that and I said, oh, wait a minute, when I'm ready to break camp, I just want to drink my coffee. I just want to heat up the water, throw in the coffee grounds and drink it and move on.
Yep, exactly. Personal preference, man.
Yep. A spork. I've had sports. People get very excited about giving me sporks.
I don't know. I think... Sporks may be the worst offender on this list, just because they're everywhere, right? Like you go to an outdoor store and they're literally everywhere. They've got them by the checkout counters. They've got them by all the cookware. They're in bright colors. They sometimes have fun designs on them. Oh, you can get a titanium spork.
Right.
to which I'm like, okay, I'll give you that one, because I've had plastic sporks before and they do break. And then you've got waste on your hands. So if we're talking sporks, I will accept titanium spork, but I already have one. Like not only a titanium spork, I have so many other sporks. And it's just one of those things that I think is so tempting and is so cheap, you know, that it looks like the perfect stocking stuffer and it's colorful and it's fun. And so people just think, oh, I'll just get a spork. Outdoors don't need another spork. Too many sporks. Also, sporks are terrible.
10 years ago, I can't remember the company, they came out with this thing that was about 6 inches long, a fork on one and a spork on the other, and then like a serrated edge to, I think, on the knife or on a serrated knife on one part of it. And I got four of those. I mean, it was like, wow, look at everything you can do with this. And, you know, I need a spoon. That's all. I heat water, pour it in, and eat. Mm-hmm. I am not a backcountry gourmet. I don't do anything fancy.
Me neither. I actually have a thru-hiker friend who has very strong feelings about sporks. And she says that, and I can't argue with her, that sometimes when you combine things to make a multi-use item, they actually lose functionality. And I think that's the case with a spork. Sometimes they're handy to have, but it's a terrible fork. Like a spork is not a good fork, and it's only an adequate spoon. And of course you don't have a knife. I do have a spork that has like a tiny serrated edge on the side of the fork, like the edge of one of the fork tines, but it's garbage. It doesn't work.
I used to take on the camping trips with the kids, and it was made of like a plastic type of material. And it didn't take long for it to break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then what do you got? You know, a worthless piece of garbage that now I guess you're doing like I had to do one time when I forgot my spork, was carve sticks into chopsticks.
Yeah.
Which, true story, sitting in the backcountry, literally using chopsticks. But it's one of those things, like sometimes, you know, just like a spoon is handier. My husband Josh has a spoon that's I think it's from GSI, and he frigging loves that thing. It's got a long handle on it. And I have one similar from Primus that has become my go-to. Long handle, so if you're eating out of a like a freeze-dried food bag, like dehydrated meals, you can actually get to the bottom of the bag without getting food all over your hand. And then you can actually scrape the bag out better. And it just works better than a spork. So sporks are terrible on so many levels.
Yeah, because I do freezer bag cooking for the most part. Yeah. When it's not in a freezer mm-hmm. bag, I dump it in a bowl and, you mm-hmm. know, stir it up and eat it. And you're right. Those long handle spoons, that's what you mm-hmm. want. I think it might have been GSI that made them. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, you're not eating your food without like food halfway up your fingers by the time you're finished. You know, you're digging into that bag, and as you get towards the bottom, right, more and more food's getting on your knuckles. And
mm-hmm. yeah. Yep. And those sporks that are like a fork on one end but a spoon on the other aren't any better, because you're putting your hand all over the end that you're not eating with right now, but probably will be later. Even if it's tomorrow. So it's also just not sanitary. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Spoon, man. Spoon all the way. Team spoon.
That's right. All right. So everybody's out there listening and you're thinking about what to get your coworker, loved one, brother, sister, mother, father. Go look at Alicia's YouTube and educate yourself. If you're not an outdoors person, Alicia is going to educate you on what not to buy.
Yes, we go into a more hilarious detail in the YouTube video about all of these things, and it's just cheeky and hopefully funny and entertaining. So I
it is it. Everybody make sure you watch it. Alicia McDerris from Terra Drift, thanks again for coming on and sharing this very valuable information with us during the holiday season.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Don't gift crap this year.
All right. Make sure you take that advice, everyone. Get outside, have some fun, and be safe.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe.
This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.